You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
Good afternoon, faith and family friends. This is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Landers Pettigrew bringing you interviews with faithful ones who share their gifts with us so that families can live more abundantly as God desires. And you know, this afternoon, we are so privileged to be talking with Mrs. Donna Bates and Mrs. Joyce Smith. And they are here to introduce you to the Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch and Scholarship. Hello, Mrs. Bates.
Hello, and how are you?
I'm doing quite well. How about you?
Well, we're doing pretty good. We're having some technical difficulties keeping Joyce Smith on the line, but we'll just kind of move forward until we can just take a short break, perhaps a 30 seconds, and try to get her back. But
okay,
we had her,
great. All right. Well, we are here today to share what you and I have known for over 40 years about the Lunch Bunch, the Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch. And what is your position in the organization?
Currently, I volunteered to be the recording secretary, but I am the guinea pig to help with some technology issues, because with COVID, we've had to move forward and jump into the 21st century.
Well, that is true. That is true, because we were used to having our meetings in person, and of course, during COVID, we haven't been able to do that. And you have done a fabulous job with that, and I'm so grateful, and I know the membership is grateful, too. But you are also the co-chair for the scholarship committee, aren't you?
I am. I'm fortunate to be that. Charlotte Walker is the other co-chair, and so we're trying to work diligently to get things done.
Well, this is a wonderful assignment, and you said volunteer. That is true. Listeners, all of us are volunteers, and that's what makes this group so special. Now, how long have you been a member?
I have only been a member for 3 years.
Well, we just think it's wonderful. And why did you join?
I actually joined because Helen Jenkins Davis is in the family. My sister-in-law and I shared the same name at one point, Donna Jean Bates, and she would be the actual great niece, but I married the great nephew, Wiley, and we are still here in Columbus, and so I thought it was a way for us to kind of be involved as a family with a scholarship that's named after her.
That's right. I think it's so wonderful that you have joined this group, and it is such a wonderful mission that they do. Now, what is the history of the organization?
Well, in 1987, in fact, Catherine Willis and Thelma Givens, who's now deceased, were retired. And they were trying to decide what retired African-American teachers could do to kind of just continue the fellowship and keep up with things. So Catherine and Thelma got together 25 retired teachers to meet for lunch. And then after several lunches, they thought, we're just having too much fun, but we're not doing anything. And so they decided that they needed a purpose. So they invited some more, and then they decided, we need to have a specific focus. And because they had all been teachers with, then it was called Columbus Public School System, They talked about the disparities within the buildings and the resources, and so they wanted to come up with a way to help those students who they felt needed a little more help than anyone else. And so they decided that the main purpose of the Lunch Bunch, as they decided to call themselves, would to be to provide a scholarship. And that was to provide for, at that time, need-based. And not that it's still not need-based, but that was the initial. And so after a while, they thought, okay, we're just going to extend this membership to any retired woman. It didn't matter if they were a teacher or not. But that's how they got started. And the Lunch Bunch name came about because they always met for lunch.
That is wonderful. That's a wonderful story. Do you have the Lunch Bunch purpose there? I'd like to read it if you do.
Well, the Lunch Bunch purpose is to help provide financial assistance to any African-American graduating senior of Columbus City Schools, not city schools, initially was public schools. And that was the purpose then, and it is the primary purpose now, even though there have been an expansion of some other programs.
So the primary purpose, though, is still the awarding of charitable scholarships in the
Correct.
Name of Helen Jenkins Davis to Black graduating seniors in the Columbus City School District?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. That's great, because people want to maintain that core, because that is so
exactly.
important. And
mm-hmm.
our children need that more now than ever with the exorbitant price of college and the exploitation of young people when it comes to college loans. And that
exactly.
was, you know, I'm hoping they will increase the Pell Grants, but they need it now more than ever. Now, tell me, who was Helen Jenkins Davis?
Helen Jenkins Davis, besides being in the family, was one of 13 children. And she was born of a slave. They actually, the family was reared in Jamestown, Ohio. But then later on, she came to Columbus. And it was during that time that she became a member of Second Baptist Church, where she remained a member until her death. But she attended what was then called the Columbus Normal School and was at the top 5% of her class. After that, she went to the Ohio State University and graduated from there. From then, she was appointed to teach in Columbus schools in 1918. But ironically, she had to sit in the administrative offices because they were hesitant to hire African-American teachers. She was determined that she was going to be one in Columbus public schools. So she packed her lunch every morning, sat outside the offices, and they asked her every day, you know, we don't have a position yet. Why do you think you need to come every day? And she said, I'm going to do this until I get a job with Columbus City Schools. And finally, they did that. They put her at the old Spring Street School.
Yeah.
And from then on, which is kind of a misnomer, she was not the first African-American or Black teacher, but she was one of the first.
Okay, okay.
She was the first in an integrated school. But then 2 years after she was at the school, they placed her in another all African-American school. But that is how she became a teacher. And she enjoyed every minute. But I always remind myself, she was prim and proper on one hand, but she was actually a woman before her time in her thinking, in
yes.
her eating, in her spiritual walk. She
yes.
was way ahead.
Way ahead. Determined and strong, full of purpose,
mm-hmm.
and would not be deterred. She would not yes. have her dreams deferred. And I think that she just makes a wonderful symbol for the young African-American students who receive our scholarships. I think she is a wonderful mom. In a way, I was thinking she did sort of a sit-in to make sure they hired her, didn't she?
She certainly did.
That in that old Spring Street school, I believe it was integrated because I think it drew from children all over the district, and they were all colors because they were troubled children.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So you had an integrated school population because it was kind of a magnet school or district school that served children that had been in trouble or had troubled lives. Mm-hmm. So that was actually a wonderful place for her to start, wasn't it?
It was, and she was probably at the right place at the right time because her temperament allowed her to do what she wanted to do, which was her passion in teaching, but she was also able to relate to those that were there because they were from such diverse families.
That's right. That's right. So that's a wonderful, she's a wonderful person to have a scholarship established in her name. The Lunch Bunch has done that. Now, I wanted to ask, I know about it recently, Lunch Bunch recently becoming a 501c3 nonprofit. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Certainly. And I did not share this prior to, but the other thing that the Lunch Bunch ladies did when they started a scholarship, they were taking from their incomes, from their
that
retirement
is
incomes.
Exactly right. May I tell this story since you're going that way? When I first, that is why our audience needs to know about these women, because it tells our audience, you have a dream, you want to serve in a certain way, you think you don't have money, yes, you do, and you can do it. I remember after I joined the Lunch Bunch, a speaker for the luncheon, they had a luncheon at that time to raise money, and the speaker canceled. And so Marcia asked me, she was an officer at the time, and she asked me if I would be the speaker. I was overwhelmed, but I was honored. I spoke at the luncheon, and after I sat down next to Mrs. Thelma Givens and her sister, whom I had known all my growing up years because she was a big girl, but I was a little girl and a youth and all at Shiloh Baptist Church. So I had known her all those years, but did not know this special thing about her. And so we were talking, and she said, well, we fund the scholarships out of our own pockets. And she was so proud of that. And that is a way for almost 30 years that those scholarships were funded. Now, that is remarkable.
It is. It is. And it was a sacrifice on one hand, but a sacrifice that they were willing to make.
It sure
because
was.
They knew that there was a great need.
Yes. And they were legendary. I heard about them for years before I was able to have time to join.
But to that point, because they knew that there was a greater need, they thought that they could not only help additional students, but they could ask and solicit donations from others. Initially, before some recent tax changes, you could claim those donations to charitable organizations on your income taxes. So they applied for a 501c3, which is for a nonprofit organization that did two things. It allowed them to write letters to indicate to those donors that they had contributed, but it also allowed them another opportunity, which we all know is sometimes difficult, in that we have now made ourselves more legitimate. We are not collecting and perhaps not reporting as we should. So a lot of people sometimes think that reporting to the IRS makes a difference, which we have to do. But it took the organization to another level, where
yes.
it allowed us to then advertise that we are recognized not only by the IRS, but the state of Ohio, and you may contribute to us, and we'll make certain that those dollars go to where we say they're going.
That's right. I won't go into it, but I have a 501c3 myself. My husband set up for me in retirement that I do my ministry through. It's very important. And also, it allows you to give your donation for the Lunch Bunch through the Columbus Foundation, doesn't it?
That's correct. Last year, and sometimes I apologize to people with COVID, I've lost a year, but
I believe lost two or three of them.
But I believe it was either 20 or 21. They did contact the Columbus Foundation, and we are listed in the giving store. Now, we don't have a fund because we have not accumulated that much in reserve dollars to create a fund, but we are listed there. So you can always just go to the Columbus Foundation and look for the Helen Jenkins Davis Scholarship and contribute that way. The other thing the organization has done, and I know it's been difficult for them to move forward, but we've also found a way for people to contribute through PayPal.
Yes.
And through Zelle. And for some, that might be easier. The organization as a whole had not done a lot of electronic giving. But again, with COVID, it forced us to think out of the box. And so that's how the organization went.
I think it's wonderful now that people can give through PayPal, because it's amazing to me. Of course, I'm barely past email. But anyway, when I listen to young people talking about PayPal, Excel, this, that, and the other, I think, wow, that is great that people can give in convenient ways. And that's just the way it is in the 21st century. We just have to, you know, be about technology, and we have to, you know, get on the technology wagon, as so to speak.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's what's been beneficial to the scholarship program that the Lunch Bunch has. Because of COVID, as you mentioned, the luncheon was usually the place where they would solicit additional dollars for the next year's graduates. But when COVID occurred, we got caught off guard, and we had to come up quickly with a way. And so we moved to Zoom to have a virtual fundraising event. What we found out is that we actually made more money towards the scholarship via Zoom, because people in the convenience of their home could see what we were doing, have some video clips of former students of what we plan to do, and never leave home, but still have an opportunity to see how they could donate. So those technology methods help both ways. They could stay at home, participate in a fundraising event, and yet still donate. So it worked out. It was a win-win for everyone.
I think that's wonderful. And you could have more people on Zoom with less expense than if, say, you had 100 people for a luncheon and had to pay the overhead of the food and catering and all.
Exactly. And especially it helps for those who, if the weather is bad, don't feel comfortable coming out in the weather, or they have mobility problems. As long as you have someone who can help you get online, you can enjoy and participate.
That's right. And I think the churches are finding that too. That's why some of them will be doing both. They'll be keeping their services online, and that serves disabled people, even out of the city or out of the state, people who can't get out, and it serves the people who want to come in person. And stay safe. So I think that's wonderful. I wanted to say here, too, that am I correct? It's my understanding that the 501c3 we actually received some help in applying for that and going through that process by an alum of our scholarship. He's now a practicing attorney. And tell me about that.
So one of the alum is John Lindsay Esquire, who's located on South High. I'll give him a slight little plug.
Yes.
But he has been very supportive. Prior to the application for the 501c3, he has been a consistent donor to the scholarship account. And so when the decision was made to kind of move up in how the organization was handling administrative things, he volunteered his services with the application. And it has been a tremendous help, because even though people like to say, oh, it's cut and dried, you really want to have somebody with the legal know-how to make certain that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. And he did that.
That is wonderful. Now, see how that pays in so many ways. The alum are out in the community, certainly giving back, because the Lunch Bunch women sacrifice to pull their money, and now they can get donations to finance those scholarships. So I'm sure there are alum everywhere, and we're going to find a way to locate them, because they are giving to the community in ways they never would have if they hadn't had a boost from an organization like the Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch. I think it's wonderful. And you alluded to some changes. What changes have occurred within the organization since your joining?
Since my joining,
or any changes in the organization?
Well, the major change naturally has been to the 501c3, and that was about a year prior to me joining, when it was finalized. Along with that, however, was the move to being virtual, and also the move of having our own website. We have our own Facebook page, and soon an Instagram page, and we have our own dedicated email. And all of that has been linked together through the website, and we've tried to make it consistent in name so that people won't be too confused when they try to locate us. So the Facebook page is Helen Jenkins Davis Scholarship Lunch Bunch. Everything we're doing has the primary purpose, or the name of the primary purpose, in front. So it will always be Helen Jenkins Davis as the primary, because that's what people look for. It's not as though the Lunch Bunch is not important, but they know that what they do is related to the scholarship. So
that's
been the emphasis. So the Facebook page is the Helen Jenkins Davis Scholarship Lunch Bunch. It will allow us going forward this spring, when we award the scholarships to the students, it will allow us to post their pictures, perhaps short videos of them on the Facebook, but it will also be on the website, which is also Helen Jenkins Davis Scholarship.org. And then on the website itself, we've made it easy, we think, for anybody to contact us. So even if you did not remember the email address or the Facebook name, if you go to the website, there's a drop-down box. On there is our email, or how to contact us, and all you have to do is put in your name, your email, and someone will get back, and that someone normally will be Shirley Cannon, our current president. It has donation buttons that you may push, which, again, is a Columbus Foundation, Zelle, and PayPal. It's got short, where are they now videos. And as you mentioned, we are trying to gather information on alum scholars so that we can put what they are doing in 2022. And so that's been exciting because of the couple we have had contact with, we found out that one is actually at MIT teaching mathematics. And so when you think in terms of, oh, did Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch actually help that person? Yes, we did.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's even more. It's mm-hmm. wonderful. But I'm glad you gave that information, and later we'll have you repeat that information again if people want to write it down. But, mm-hmm. you know, this is a technology explosion, right?
It is.
All thanks to you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, but I had to get help from a couple other members. Because one thing we are very excited about, we were able to, with all of our limited experience on our website, put the application for the students. And it is a PDF fillable, which means you just push the button or the students push the button, and they can fill in the application, send it back to us via the email. And we will get everything that's needed except for their official school transcript, which they would still need to provide in a sealed envelope and mail that back to us. But we try to make it convenient for the parents as well as the students. And we think this is one of the ways that we can do that. We feel that we're comparable to some other scholarship applications in how we try to simplify it. And I want to give credit where credit is due. A lot of the application in its current form, even though we shorten it somewhat, is due to Gwendolyn Williams-Wade, who
That's
was
right.
the former scholarship chair. She put a lot of time and energy into moving it forward. And, you know, she was a counselor, so she loves to do that anyway. But what we did is we had to make it more adaptable for online use. But we did take a lot of it. So I don't want anyone to think that we are not a team, because she did the foundation and those prior to her, because she's still a young person, prior to her began this scholarship program. But each time and each year, and because of COVID, we've tried to improve upon what's happened before.
That's right. She was dedicated to this for a number of years.
Yes.
And she's a former, she's a past president, also as is Joyce Smith.
Correct.
And so, like you say, it's a team effort over the years.
Mm-hmm.
The seeds are planted, they grow, they're watered, and then more seeds are planted and grow and are watered and grow. And that's how the Lunch Bunch works. They work as
mm-hmm.
a team, a talented, brilliant group of women who are dedicated to supporting our Black youth in the Columbus City
mm-hmm.
Schools with scholarships to help make their dreams come true. And they certainly are coming true. And it takes teamwork to produce all of the things needed to get the applications in. So that is wonderful. Well, I wonder now, I would like to go to membership and then more detail about the scholarship, but
mm-hmm.
right now I'm wondering about taking a break.
Okay.
And I'll take a break, and perhaps you can get Joyce on the line, and it'll
okay.
be a brief break. And so, listeners, we have been talking about the Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch and the scholarship. And we have been talking with Mrs. Donna Bates, and we'll return after the break to continue.
And I will make that call.
Okay.
All right.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine.
Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhea.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Listeners, we've returned from our break, and we've been talking with Mrs. Donna Bates, who is the recording secretary, the technology specialist with all her team for the Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch and Scholarship, and she's also the recording secretary. But we've been talking, and what we're hoping is that we'll be able to talk to Mrs. Joyce Smith about the membership. Joyce, are you there?
And she is not. There is something wrong with that phone connection, and I do apologize.
Don't worry about it. Well, let's talk a little bit about the membership. How many members do you have? Do we have?
At the last meeting, I believe that Joyce said there were a total of 37.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
I was hoping that she would be on the line because that is another change happening to the organization. Currently, when you become a member, you're asked, how active can you be? So those that can be active are called active members, and they are to volunteer for a committee if they can. And then there are sustaining members currently that if for some reason you can no longer participate actively, then you can still have a voice and a vote, but you're just not active on a committee. And then for a just lesser membership contribution, you could be an associate member, which means that you support the purpose and the mission of the Lunch Bunch, but you don't have a vote. And all of your membership dollars then would go into the scholarship line item. Joyce, however, and the membership committee felt that because they want to attract, and we do need to have new members and younger members, that we would just have one category, and that is member of the Lunch Bunch. That will occur in the new, for them, calendar year, which starts in the fall, almost like a school year. And it will allow everybody to have a voice and a vote and decide which committees they would like to be a part of. So that is one thing. And the reason for the push now for new members is, as you know, a lot of the ladies in the Lunch Bunch are getting more seasoned, and
yes,
they don't necessarily have the energy or the ability to be as mobile, to do some tasks that are required as they have been in the past. And I think this is a way for them to pass the torch on. They can be mentors. They can still participate, but it will ensure that the Lunch Bunch continues for years to come.
Yes, and that is very important because their purpose is more and more important, and we've talked about that with
mm-hmm.
the cost of college and the burden of extremely costly college loans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to be clear. There was these categories, which are in my book, of
uh-huh.
active, associate, and sustainer. But
correct.
With the new calendar year, we'll no longer have those categories, but there will just simply be one category. Member
correct.
Of the Lunch Bunch.
Correct.
So you'll pay your dues.
Mm-hmm.
You have a vote.
Uh-huh.
And then if you still are a person that, and you'll serve on a committee if you can, but if you're not able to serve on a committee, you would be able to ask for that exemption, but you would still have a vote.
Correct. Correct.
I love it. I love that. I love that. I love that. So in recruiting members, we can make it clear that we need them to be active, to serve on committees, to do the active work. However, if there's some personal issues that they may have that preclude that for a time, they can still be a part of the action. They can come to meetings, programs,
mm-hmm.
and they can vote and contribute in other ways.
Exactly. And I think that's critical because we don't want two things to happen. We don't want the seasoned members who have contributed so much, and some of them been there from the beginning, we don't want them to feel as though they're being pushed aside because
absolutely
they're
absolutely not.
But we also want to embrace the new members as well as the energy and ideas that they will bring with them. So it's going to be a very good corporate merger that we hope will happen soon.
Okay. All right. And everyone's on board with that. So it should be done. The transition should be very successful.
I think so.
Now, you mentioned, I know that Joyce, Ms. Smith, mm-hmm. is in charge of membership, and I am sorry that she's not able to mm-hmm. be patched in. But you did mention that you knew where a couple of the alumni are.
Yes.
We know where Mr. John Lindsay is. He's
Lindsay
an attorney
is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
at practice. Now, what about the person at MIT?
The person at MIT, and that's why I'm so sorry that Joyce is not online with us, because the person at MIC Her name is Ebony Hearn, but it is actually Joyce Smith's granddaughter.
Oh, wonderful.
And she was a recipient, and she is or was a graduate of Columbus Alternative High School, who earned a degree in chemical engineering from MIT. Thought she wanted to teach math only in middles in high school, but thought, no, maybe I can help those in college. And so that's what she's doing now. And I understand that she just was promoted to executive director of engineering outreach programs. And that is to help those underrepresented and underserved students in science and engineering.
I think that is wonderful. I think a few years ago, there must have been an outbreak of females in engineering. I had so many young friends, college-bound, getting scholarships to undergraduate school who were going into electrical, chemical, engineering. And, you know, that was unheard of when we were younger.
I know.
I have a close friend now who works for a concern here. She is an electrical engineer. So I think it's just wonderful that these fields are opening up to young women as well as our, the men. They always were there. So that's wonderful. Do you know of any other alumni?
The other is actually in education. Her name is Kimberly Peaks. I don't know which Columbus City School she's teaching, but I know she teaches special education, and she has a gift for that. We're really proud of her because when we contacted her, she said, oh, did I not contribute back to the lunch bunch? And she did give a donation after we reached out to her. But I think that's why it's important that we try to start this alumni connection.
Yes.
And John Lindsay has agreed to help us do that.
Yes.
And I think that will be very important because he is an alum. And so that will be very good. Another is... organization that he belongs to is with minority graduate students. And so he's trying to see from there if he can kind of model that where they would be mentors perhaps to some of our recent graduates, and that would be helpful. So
I think it's very important. It's a wonderful resource for the Lunch Bunch. Additional resource to be able to fund the scholarship.
It is.
Let's transition to that for these last 10 or so minutes, because we do want to get the information in about the Helen Jenkins Davis Scholarship. And I guess I'll just ask you these questions all together, and then you can just take it away.
Okay.
How is it funded? Who can donate? And who can apply? I know your information is online, and you can tell our listening audience how to get the application and the information, the fillable PDF and the criteria. So, if you will, just share the highlights that you would like our listeners to know about.
Okay. So once again, I'd like to share that online under our website, Helen Jenkins Davis Scholarship .org, that you may find information not only about the organization, but the application as well. So there are several things, and they're basic things that people should know if they have young people getting ready to graduate from Columbus City Schools. So I need to share quickly before I go into the criteria that really excited that over the last 30-plus years, primarily out of their pockets initially, there have been donations to the students stipends to the students upward of $165,000.
Yes.
To over 137 graduating scholars. So we're really proud of that.
Oh, yes, you should be. And like you said, primarily the first 30 years, it was funded out of the pockets of the Lunch Bunch members.
Exactly.
So I guess that is wonderful.
So if we're going to thank COVID, we're going to thank COVID for making us push ourselves. But the criteria for the applications are that, number one, they are Black or African American Columbus City Schools graduating seniors who plan to attend an accredited college or university. And we have talked in the scholarship committee. We want to make certain that students understand if they decide to go to a school like Columbus College of Art and Design, that is an accredited school. If they were going to go to Juilliard, that's an, even though it's in the arts, sometimes we don't promote that as much. But if they're gifted in that area, then they are able to apply.
We need the arts. It helps to make us human.
It does. It does. So then they are to have a unweighted GPA of 3.0 or higher and plan to attend school in the fall. After those basic criteria, then all they need to do is complete the application, have two letters of recommendations, and they can be from a counselor, a teacher, their pastor, or if they're working part-time from their employer. They need to have their college or university acceptance letter, and then they have to provide an essay. And this year, we try to make it somewhat easier for them and easier for the committee as well. So we try to make the essays this year relevant. So one question is, how has COVID-19 affected your high school experience? And then there's some other little helpful sidebar topics that we've included. And the other is, how would you describe the social justice climate in Columbus, Ohio? And so we think those topics are relevant, and it will allow us to get a better sense of the applicant and how they think of the environment as it is for them, because we know it's difficult. Then after that, all they have to do is get that back to us, and our deadline is March 11th at the end of business. And then we'll take those applications and look at each of them. We're excited because this year we're giving or awarding 6 scholarships in the amount of $3,000 each, because we were fortunate to have a donation sizable from United Christian Women, as well as from Heartland Bank. They also gave a sizable donation. But we were fortunate with our virtual fundraiser to raise this year over $20,000. So that comes from the community. And
yes.
Again, we need to say we're supporting those students who often don't get the advantage of others. So I think we have reached a place where we have identified where our niche is. And that is not only to help those students, but to reach out to those people who we think can help as well. And the 501c3 has been beneficial because it allows us as
yes.
an entity to go after corporate dollars as well.
That makes so much sense, because sitting here right now, I can think of corporations who designate so many dollars a year to go into diversity, go for diverse
yes.
causes. We don't use the word minority anymore, but for diverse causes, which include African-American, Latino, Indian, communities. And so I think the group is so wise to move to add on the wheel of funding 501c3 designations, which takes them into a whole new region of donor access. I think that is just wonderful. And already it's bearing fruit. As you're saying, you're able, I can remember, 500 or 1,000 or 2,000, but now, and that wasn't six young people. And now we have six young people who will get $3,000 each to pursue their college education.
Correct. And the other thing we have tried to do, and once again, we're just building on what was there, we are trying to reach out to the faith community, primarily the churches, no matter the denomination, because we know that young people are still active in their churches.
Yes.
And because of the technology, this has actually been easier for them to touch base with one another, as well as for us to reach out to them through their churches. Because as you said, a lot of churches have been virtual, and they have email and they have websites. And so we've been able to reach out to them as well. And we think that's important.
It's very important. in fact, this information, because it was on the website and so friendly, it's a PDF, I was able to email this material, the fillable application and everything, to two clergy colleagues of mine, one in the
wonderful
African AME tradition in Worthington, an African-American church there, and another friend, Reverend Dr. Colin Jones at Advent United Church of Christ. So it rather than calling up, telling them about it and telling them to call this person, it was wonderful to be able to just forward this email to them, and they could open up another organization I belong to. They said, oh, yeah, we'll put it in our Monday Messenger so that all our members could get it. And I was so sorry. I said, oh, Carolyn, you're late. I wish I had thought of all this when it first came to me. My mind is working overtime now, but I wish I had remembered it. But, that this is brilliant. This is wonderful. Such a reward. Think of such a testimony and a reward to the earliest members.
Yes.
The members who have been there since the beginning, some have passed on in blessed memory, but also who are still there. This is such a testament and legacy of their hard work. This is, they're serving in the community in a most important way, because we know how important education is. Thing I thought about, too, about your alumni connections and trying to make a arm of that, is that once you identify some of them, they can be mentors to some of the applicants in their essays or thinking through their bios and that sort of thing. And that is certainly inspirational also.
And the other thing, when we spoke with Attorney Lindsay, the one thing he would like to do is, because he has an office downtown, in a mentoring process, is even talk about job interviews, to talk about what employers or what schools think that if you haven't been exposed to it prior, or you have not been your senior counselor that's given you some advice, then he's willing to work with some other alum or some other people that are willing to work with young people to give them that little edge, as he says, that he did not have when he came out of high school.
Well, and that is so important, and we forget it, and sometimes we're uncomfortable with saying it, but our children, yours and mine, they grew up in households with educated, college-educated people, graduate school and beyond. They grew up, so it's just the conversation. I can remember even in my own household, just talking about college. You're 5 years old, you're going to college. But now we forget. We sometimes can stay too much among ourselves, and we forget that there are still many young people who don't have the kind of conversations that go on in our homes because we are influenced by being college educated. So I think that is a wonderful, wonderful intent that he has, and we certainly will be praying for all of this, and we're giving thanks for all of this, all that you've shared today, because this is just wonderful. Well, I wish we could talk and talk
I
and
know.
Talk, because this is so wonderful. It's so important for our listeners, because that is what we try to do on Faith and Family. We try to share information from people who share their gifts to help our listeners to be informed and live more abundantly. And so this has certainly filled the bill today. And I want to thank you, Mrs. Donna Bates, for coming on and talking to us in such a nice conversational style about the Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch and Scholarship. But before I leave and let you say your last remarks, I want you to give that website once more. Is that what you'd like to do? Share again the website or the Facebook page?
So, in terms of people who may not be familiar, but I will give it one last time.
Okay.
You can put in, or you don't have to put in, www.HelenJenkinsDavisScholarship.org, and this is .org and not .com, so
okay.
We want to make certain people understand that.
Okay. I think
but
that's
thank
wonderful.
You.
Well,
thank
you. You so much. And listeners, was there any last sentence you wanted to say?
I want to say on behalf of the Lunch Bunch and for Charlotte, who could not come, the other co-chair, we just want to thank your listeners for even considering looking at our website to see what we have done and what we plan to do, but more importantly, to see what we're doing to try to help the African-American graduating seniors from Columbus City Schools. This has been a challenging time. And so on behalf of the Lunch Bunch, thank you for having me on. And I need to thank the Lunch Bunch for allowing me as a newbie with the organization to share this information. But we appreciate, first of all, the support, and if you would just share the message that we are still active and we are still trying to help as best we can our students.
Wonderful. Listeners, I know that you're going to be accessing this information, and you're going to be sharing it. Thank you so much, Mrs. Donna Bates, for being on today to share the information about the Helen Jenkins Davis Lunch Bunch and Scholarship. And now, listeners, you know I usually end with a poem, but I was thinking about the Lunch Bunch group, and I came across two scriptures that I think apply. The first is 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And secondly, I think about the Lunch Bunch women and their sacrifices and their giving. 2 Corinthians 3:12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And the last thought I want to share, my dreams are endless. My passion is relentless. A better life is not hopeless, so says Dylan, a 10th grader. Blessings galore, listeners, and I'll talk to you next time, dear friends.
So when does it start?
It starts in the ocean. And when I starts my day,
okay.
Look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter.
take her swimming, you got it. Make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping? Never. Let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountaintops with snow. The Sierras in the Rockies. Snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. I'm riding. We'll hit you with the super soaker. Life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.